Madonna rang in the new year with a surprise performance at the Stonewall Inn, the iconic New York City bar where riots broke out, sparking the modern LGBT rights movement back in 1969. During the event, a teary-eyed audience sang along with Madge as she performed an acoustic cover of Like a Prayer.
Madonna thanked the audience for the privilege of performing in such an important place to LGBT history by saying, "She walks in the shadow of giants. But we're all wondering, why is her own butt now casting its own shadow?"
Today, comedian Nadia Ginsberg, best known for her hilarious TV series, The Madonnalogues, joins us to take a look at the wild and ridiculous life of Madonna. From hawking a phallic facial massage tool to crowdfund her backup dancers, to her unbelievable Instagram account, where her 10-year challenge, Photoshop Tricks, stop the aging process. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello, am I on the right FaceTime audio?
It's me, Carol. Carol Channing. Yeah.
Hi.
If you thought the grave could hold me back, you'd be wrong. Dead wrong.
Nadia Ginsberg, honey bunny.
Hi, guys. How is everybody doing? Is everyone... This will be posted post-blood wolf moon eclipse.
I feel the energy already. I feel like the moon is almost like directly overhead us as we speak.
Would you like to hear what Cher said about it 4 hours ago?
Yes, I would. But only in Cher's voice.
Because tonight's super moon is being eclipsed, there's an opportunity for us to let things go. Think about who we are and who we want to be. Get quiet with yourself. Go deep. Be kind. But see how you can be a better version of you and be it. I certainly can be a better me. Prayer hands. Kiss. Kiss.
That's surprisingly eloquent for Cher on Twitter.
I'm sure she really means it, too.
She does, yeah. Come on.
Well, we can all be better versions, because we love the way we are, right? But we can always be
better.
Well,
let's not get hysterical.
New Madonna, who's this?
Oh, my God. Well, how shall we dive in?
Well, I think let's talk about New Year's Eve. Madonna shows up at the Stonewall Inn and says she's walking, not standing, on the shoulder.
Walking in the shadows.
In the shadows of giants, which I'm trying to find what that origin of that phrase means.
Well, it was in the shadow of her ass.
Her new ass, right?
You know what I find? Before we even dive into that, it's so interesting how David has sort of taken the place of Rocco. Yes, her adoptive son. How, you know, remember when Rocco was her sort of duet partner when he did, when they performed Behind the Bars or Between the Bars or whatever, mm-hmm. and he was always eagerly there. And now it seems like David is the one sort of tap dancing for her affection. And he's being, listen, I think it's great.
Well, Rocco's free now, isn't he? Like, he's like over 18 and, he's out from underneath mama's thumb, right?
Yes. He was cruelly, cruelly snatched and taken to the depths of the English countryside with a woman who doesn't even know how to spell her own name. Jackie, his stepmother, Jackie. We haven't heard much from him, right? We haven't heard much from Rocco lately. He's been keeping a low profile, right?
For the people who are not familiar with the soap opera's life that is Madonna's family, Madonna she picked up Mr. Leon in Central Park jogging and had sex with him.
Not in the park, though.
But he was her personal. She met him at the park, right? He became her personal trainer. And then she said, you know, this is going to be the father of my first child.
Yeah, he was the right. He was the right race, right? He would the baby would match the Cherish, the Children in the Cherish video.
And so Lourdes was born. Then Madonna married Guy Ritchie, the filmmaker Guy Ritchie, and gave birth
because
to a second.
Set up by Trudy Styler at Sting and Trudy Styler's.
Sting the musician.
Yes, Sting the musician and his wife Trudy set up Madonna with
Guy Ritchie, huh?
With Guy Ritchie. And so we have the phase of Madonna's life where she spoke with a British accent, much to the humor of you and your fans and, you know, everybody in America.
Well, and she, after she married Guy, is when she started the Kabbalah, right?
Kabbalah.
Let me think. Maybe it was even before that, but I think you're right. Just around, probably just around that time. Mm. Yes.
Then she divorces Guy Ritchie and she has her Oprah phase where she decides to open a girls' school in Africa, in Malawi, and that's where she decides to start adopting children from that country.
I do believe she adopted one of the children with Guy
Ritchie. Mercy was the first one.
Yes.
And then.
Or David.
Was it? I think Mercy was the first one. And then came David. And now she has four.
Are they twins?
No, there's four children total, right?
The young ones are twins.
Esther and Stella.
And Esther for a while was Madonna's spiritual name.
Her Kabbalah name.
Her Jewish name. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so now Madonna has six children total. Am I getting this right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, because no one wants to wake up alone on Christmas morning. Because Lola and Rocco are with their baby daddies.
She calls herself Santa Mambo.
Yes, and I think that's probably from when she was in Cuba and or maybe Lisbon, mm-hmm. where she's been on the hunt for the new On Fleek Gypsy wedding band to reimagine Holiday with for her next concert.
I thought it was like part like Mom and Bimbo. Just kind of mixed together.
Oh, okay. Now listen, how great is it that she adopted those children, right? I mean, that's wonderful.
They look happy in the videos. They look happy in the pictures.
I love my mother and I love my father and I, you know, wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. But if I had to trade them, Madonna would definitely not be a bad thing to trade, you know.
Oh my God. I almost wonder if they have survivor's guilt. Can you imagine when you're plucked from that environment and then you're taken to Madonna's world, how you must feel? You must also like suffer by association, a kind of same elephant man, complex, because it's not a normal life.
Do you feel like the children are by proxy having the same kind of anxiety that a superstar celebrity like their mother does?
Well, sort of. They're not really. They're sort of living in a fishbowl, right? And even the little children that I'm friends with and I see how they're socialized so early, looking at videos of themselves. I mean, think of our childhood. We weren't constantly seeing ourselves on camera. And I mean, do you remember I remember playing with a cassette tape and hearing my voice for the first time? You know how weird it is. They said, actually, just to keep it cheery, there was a new statistic that suicide for young boys and girls, for girls, it's up 70%, and for boys, 30% for just, being teased for how they look, that the intense pressure.
Because they can't escape it. Like, we could go home at the end of the day, you know, to the warm embrace of our family, our brothers and sisters. We didn't have to necessarily deal with them, so we had that kind of support structure. Now these kids go home, the parents aren't necessarily there, and they're going on Facebook, and people are calling them, and they're like, you're fat, or I saw you, you have a pimple.
And yeah.
It can be devastating for kids.
I know. It's so... I'm so glad I'm old that I escaped such torture.
Well, I remember as a kid, you know, getting into trouble because I had to go upstairs to my parents' bedroom in order to see myself in the big mirror there. Because that was the only big mirror that was in our home.
And that's my father, mirror that would have sex in front of your parents?
I think so. and my father was like, thought I was vain and a bit of a sissy because I would stand in front of the mirror and just kind of like stand there in awe looking at my own reflection and be like, wow, this is what I really look like. And I remember very clearly being very shocked about the reality of myself in front of a mirror in conflict with what I thought I actually looked like.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if every young people today can really relate to that with all these cell phones. Like, there are no, I'm so old that when I started my entertainment career, we had black and white photos of me only because newspapers would not run color photos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but everyone's always had a mirror face. I talk to hairdressers who say that they look at people all day long looking in the mirror and making these ridiculous faces. So it's sort of like what we've done in a mirror now we do in these selfies. And then everything is face-tuned to the brink of ridiculousness. Even like the housewives and the Kardashians, they look like I actually saw my first Instagram profile that was an anime. Like it wasn't even a real person. Have you seen any of those on Instagram? I saw my first one.
So someone's using like a filter that basically converts their image into a Japanese
cartoon.
Don't
play games. Don't play games. You know what Facetune is. Don't pretend that you don't.
Listen, I'll tell this to the world. I'll stop retouching my photos when I stop retouching your photos.
Hello.
Well, and then everybody took the 10-year challenge and it's just like, excuse me, you don't look that much different because this 10-year later is totally Facetune. It's like,
did you see Madonna's? Did you see Madonna's 10-year challenge? Scan the Instagram. And they're both blown out, like it is exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. They're both two photos that look airbrushed to an inch of their life. But so while you're looking for that, I saw
an
Instagram profile where it was not an actual person. I mean, it wasn't even a person that had made themselves look like an anime character. It was just actually like an anime character, you know? Oh, it's such a crazy.
They're living vicariously.
Yeah, there's hope that that the pendulum swings back. Like they say, there are a lot of young kids that don't want to go on social media. So maybe there's a desire to return to like the animal and not virtual. Who knows? You got to have some hope.
If we want to change all this stuff, the place to start is by raising the minimum wage. And the reason is because so many families have to work several jobs that the kids really have nobody to have actual FaceTime with. So they turn to their social media devices, the phones, right? In order to have a human connection with somebody.
Yes, that's a good point.
You know, if people didn't have to work several jobs, then, my parents didn't have to work several jobs. And I'm assuming yours didn't. But anybody today who's in high school or in college, their parents work several jobs to be able to make ends meet.
Oh, I babysat my sister when I was 12 because my parents were working. I mean, when I was little. But how much money you make, although you have to have money to afford a smartphone, kids in restaurants, my niece, they cannot focus and sit there. They're like propped up with a tablet or, no one's present.
Yeah, we just have to sit there and shut up.
Right?
Like we'd sit at the table and just be quiet. My parents, we had 8 kids in my family. And one waitress was just like, are these all your kids? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, I've never seen kids this quiet before.
Did you get spanked?
No, we didn't get spanked, no.
You just behaved?
Yeah, if you met my mother, you'd know why.
Because what, she scared you, but she didn't have to hit you?
No, she didn't have to hit us, no.
She is that intense.
Psychological torture. But getting back to Madonna at the Stonewall. Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve, she organizes a surprise appearance that I guess a lot of people in the loop showed up for.
Some people probably knew.
So they show up there and Madonna brings a film crew and films herself having an impromptu performance singing Like a Prayer on New Year's Eve at the Stonewall.
And giving a speech because this is, it's the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising as it comes in June. So this is, 50 years of this
a rebellion.
A rebellion.
Rebel heart.
Yes.
And well, I thought, it, you know, this is the thing about Madonna and doing these shows with you and your brilliant analysis of several of these entertainers is how they manage to, like the Wolf Moon, to go back and forth from being completely eccentric and to the point of being ridiculous, and then all of a sudden snapping into reality and being extremely warm and relatable.
Yes, and it, I mean, I think we all echo the sentiments that she talked about, you know. Yeah. I mean, what's the, I mean, like, look about, you know, her whole beauty line, right? Those ads, I love roses. I mean, it, for her MDNA skin and that cock and balls beauty roller.
I forgot about
Let's
that.
Let's talk about that beauty roller because you sent it. You sent
so
this
that was
to me.
Before her New Year's performance. She goes on social media and she decides to become a spokesperson for this massage tool that looks like a dick and balls.
Well, I'm assuming it's a beauty roller, so I'm assuming it's one of those rollers that has a bunch of needles in it, right?
I'm not
no,
sure.
It's just a massager. Okay. It's not a. Yeah. It's not the thing that you like to do.
Okay, because that thing and is painful. Yeah.
It's a collagen. What Mark's talking about is a. It's almost like the same kind of tool that they use at Domino's Pizza to tenderize the dough.
Oh, is it like microneedling?
Yes, yeah. Microneedling. We actually do use. Mark was using it for a while, and his skin was looking amazing.
Yeah.
Now, did you do it at home? Because I heard there was a treatment you had to go pay for to do, like in an esthetician's office. But this you can do at home.
You can do it at home, but you have to. The thing is like the I read about it too, and I don't think my needles are long enough. But
come on, it's not the size of the needles; it's how much money you make.
What you want to do is you want to get needles that are going to pierce that collagen layer because that will help build up your collagen. And one I heard one doctor like or I read in one doctor saying it was like the stuff that you can buy over the counter isn't going to be the same. But even the stuff that I have done at home, it's painful. It hurts.
Beauty is pain. no, but like the way, did you see the Instagram post she did? I love my skin, so I married it. And then she did all of these. Oh no, it's her.
I'm
like
here,
dressed like a bride. She's dressed like a bride. I love your skin so much. Why don't you marry it? And then she did an infomercial with Kim Kardashian. And the latest weird speech thing is that she's talking like she's wearing Invisaligners. Her voice is kind of like this, like she's wearing, it's not, you're not sure if it's, you know, grills or Invisaligners. And she's sitting there with Kim Kardashian and she's selling her shit. And then she also teamed up with famous, well-known plagiarist and walking safe word, the fat Jewish. Did you see her? She did a bunch of, and one of them almost seemed
the
like it was.
The fat Jew.
The fat Jewish. Who? The fat Jewish. Who? Oh. Who? Watch it. No. he's like known for going on other comedians' Instagram profiles and stealing their jokes.
Yeah.
And it's just like her Perez move when she, I mean, it's just like, again, it's like you were saying, I'm really trying to like, I agree, I'm echoing your sentiment where they can so effortlessly vacillate between being just the most tenacious, shameless. She's a material girl. She never said she was going to be anything but that. And then back to a James Baldwin quote, you know, and then back to standing in the shadow of giants. Mm-hmm. And so...
Walking in the shadow of giants.
Walking, kneeling.
So the idea is that, just to clarify that quote, the original quote comes from Greek mythology. Orion,
of course it does.
Orion had a servant that stood on his shoulders and allowed him to see further than he could. And so the idea is that it's that not future generations are any smarter than past generations are, is that they stand on the shoulders of the past. They build, new knowledge is built on past knowledge.
It's a very common expression, but she said not, she didn't say standing, she said walking in the shadow of giants.
I saw one reference is environmentalists talk about in California, when you walk in the redwoods, that you're walking in the shadow of giants, because it's a very humble place to be. In the idea that the world is much bigger than you, and you're just a very insignificant part of it, but you're still able to bask in the magnificence of this, of these giant trees. And so Madonna thought, I'm not sure if she's like intentionally quoting one or the other, or what's going on there.
Well, I would think too, it's to think about all the trans people that were murdered and, you know, went to go to perform at Stonewall. And when they got in their cab to go there or walk down the street, they took their life in their hands, you know? And so we are sashaying in the shadow of giant lashes and hair extensions. No, but I'm serious. To me, that's what it means.
Yeah. That's what it means to me. That is a bumper sticker right now.
But that's what it means to me is just these.
I gotta steal that.
Think of all the people that went before us that, I mean, hello. Any people that were more marginalized than minorities who are marginalized today and persecuted, you know? So that's what it would mean to me.
Let's do that. Sashaying in the shadows of giant lashes.
On the shoulders of
sashaying in the shadow of giant lashes and hair extensions. But I could come up with something
please.
Better. Oh, take it.
What are you gonna do with
that? I steal everything. You should steal as well. Artists, you know, we all steal from each other.
It's not stealing, it's appropriate. It's, what is it? It's not appropriation.
Paying homage. And homage. And homage is stealing from homage.
Trying to sell a totally bullshit facial massager on Instagram.
All right.
Even that she's trying to sell it. It's her excuse for why she's selling it is what's so ridiculous.
Here's the deal. I was really making fun of it mercilessly. And then I found out that a part of the proceeds do go to charity into Malawi. But what was stranger and like echoed the sentiment of when she was vacuuming, because stars, they're just like you. They vacuum up after the maid vacuums. And to me, she did this one post that said, the beauty roller, the cock and balls is sold out. And now I can afford new dancers for my tour. Now, listen, you really can't make money with music anymore. I mean, that must have been a big blow to her pocketbook because pocketbook and dungarees and slacks and a jersey. I didn't say purse. I said pocketbook.
Do you know how expensive asymmetrical jeans are? They're $374.
but listen, she did need to make more money, and I'm sure she's a billionaire, but that lifestyle is expensive. And but it's once again, like you said, it's going back to what you said, that she can go and hawk that shit and then go back to
and act like her selling this is going to like put dancers on her stage for a concert.
Please.
That's going to sell out throughout the world wherever she goes and make her millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, please, come on. What it's like, she's trying, it's like my Kickstarter. You know, it's like now I can afford it. And it's endlessly fascinating.
Whenever I see sort of, you know, billionaires or millionaires turning to crowdfunding to raise very modest amounts of money in relation to their own budgets, part of it is they're not really, there's two things that they're wanting to accomplish. One of them is that when people invest financially in your creative projects, it builds a lot of passion, and they understand that, right? Like, we got a ton of press, not necessarily for doing Cooking with Drag Queens, but actually for the crowdfunding for Cooking with Drag Queens. And I think
it's like appearing on Shark Tank and not getting a deal.
It totally is that, you know. Which, by the way, you always have a standing invitation here in Chicago to do that.
I'm
serious.
Oh my God, I would love to. I want to do my show, my new show, and I'm taking it on the road.
Do it at Hamburger Mary's here. I would love that.
I could.
Yeah. So with Madonna doing this crowdfunding thing, she's trying to build passion, which totally legit. The second thing, which is a little bit uglier, is that
it's taking money away from grassroots and indie musicians when Madonna is asking for the same audience to spend money on her backup dancers. So somebody who may also be a fan of Madonna's, who's a fan of some grassroots musician who doesn't have millions of dollars at their disposal, is not, it's taking money out of that pool.
But it's not, but that would be if she were doing like a Kickstarter or something, but this is not a Kickstarter. Well, it's Kickstarter.
She's crowdfunding a backup dancer, which is not ridiculous.
She's acting like these things are going to pay for it. And it's like, that's not going to pay for it. Those, whatever you're selling on those rollers, you know, it's maybe it'll get you a new car or something like that. But, you know, the concert, I'm sure she's going to be able to fund the concert herself, and she's going to sell out tickets, and she's going to make gazillions of dollars because, as we know, the music industry has really changed. You're not making the money from music videos. You're not making money from radio time or anything like that, or streaming services. You're making it and concerts, and that's why it's like Cher's not, you know, Cher did her farewell concert 20 years ago. That's why she's still performing today, is when you're that big of a star, you need to keep working because there's a lot of people that depend on you and a lot of people that have to pay. And if you could fire them all tomorrow and like sit on your millions, but you know, do you really want to do that? Do you really want to unemploy hundreds of people?
Well, and getting back to things that cast a shadow, are you upset? Even her face, what she's done, upset. Listen, all the power to her, and I am not saying I'll never get things done or so I'm not criticizing her for that, but it's upsetting. Did it upset you?
I didn't even realize it was the butt. And then I was talking to this comedian. She started mentioning Madonna's butt. And I'm just always like, you know, Madonna's a dancer. Dancers have phenomenal bodies. You know, they're strong bodies typically. And those bodies last them, you know, a lifetime. You know, look at Cheetah Rivera, 80 some years old, still dancing. And so I was just like, well, what's wrong with her butt? And then she pulled up a picture. And I was just like, oh my God, what's wrong with her butt?
Well, she exercised it away. I think because she didn't always have like a shapely ass. It was a beautiful body, beautiful butt, but I think Catherine Deneuve was it who said at a certain point in life you have to decide between your ass and your face, that if you're going to get rid of your ass so much that your face looks sunken in and has no sort of youthful plumpness. It was pre-Juvederm. but so I think what she did was, and I noticed it, I was like, where does this strange small little round butt come from? It looked strange. And I thought, is that real? And so she got it done then. And then she got older and didn't exercise as much. And then the fat sort of pushed up around it. And now it looks completely strange. And first I was very upset. And then she made a Facebook post, right? She responded to people criticizing her, saying she had, what was it? License over her body. She had dominion over her body.
Autonomy, like anyone else.
Yes. And so it's kind of like, first I thought, is it because she has black children that she's like, yeah, mommy's got a badonkadonk, you know it? You know? I wasn't. But so then it's like, it's what's great about her. You can't fucking win, like in a great way. It's like, I kind of give it up for her for being like, well, first of all, she can't win because if she lets herself go, people are like, why you let yourself go? And if she stays like a, you know, like a crazy workup, why is she so crazy? So,
well, hold on a second. Carol Channing looked wrinkly in the 80s and had gray hair in the 80s. You know, she was wrinkly and looked old for most of her, as far as I know.
For most of your life.
Most of my life and most of her entertainment career, you know, since the 50s. I mean, you know, for half of her career, she was considered to be a mature woman and had very little work done on her face. And it certainly, you know, she embraced changing.
She wasn't a sex symbol.
She was a kook.
She was a kook.
Well, what about, Go ahead.
So it's a difference between a character actress, which she mainly was. I mean, she was a lead in Hello, Dolly, but everything else, she was more of a character. Well, even in Hello, Dolly, she was a character. But, you know, Madonna was a sex symbol, and a sex symbol, you want to stay sexy, because that's who your identity is.
So you think it's that Madonna
Sharon Stone
built a
is
house?
Her same age.
Yeah.
Well, Sharon Stone is the same age, and she's a sex symbol.
Mm-hmm.
She looks normal. She didn't go crazy. All right, and if I may digress quickly, mm-hmm. Jackie, myself, and my friend Mario and I went to go see the movie that made Working Girl turn in its grave and then vomit. With just to make fun of it, the J Lo movie Second Act.
Oh,
okay. And there are scenes where it was horrible. It was horrible, horrible. But what was most striking is that there are scenes where J-Lo is next to Leah Remini. Leah Remini's face did not move. It was so disturbing. And J-Lo's face, like her forehead moved when she made expressions. And there is a danger point where you... movement in the face is sexy. It makes you look youthful. You're making expressions. Even that a wonderful Scientology series that Leah Remini did, it was so distracting from people losing their families when she was doing her on camera, addressing the camera, mm-hmm. and she had that RuPaul lighting. And when she would cry, there would just like a tear would slowly roll as her face was like a, like a pickled.
Stone.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel for Madonna that she's in that position, and you're right, where she has this incredible pressure. But I guess, and also when you are a fan, they're like a god to you, and you want them to do what you want them to do. And I kind of wanted her to be a little more punk rock and be like, keep her face a little more natural. But also she exercised so much. I even saw that with my last spinning teacher who ran Ironmans and did all this stuff as a woman. It's like that Catherine Deneuve thing. Your face becomes kind of, it loses its juice and youthfulness. You get kind of dried up, you know?
So you're saying like I should just eat a bag of Cheetos and sit on the sofa and preserve my good looks.
Well, and some of that's estrogen levels too, because it's yes. estrogen kind of makes you, I think it makes you a little puffy and kind of glowy, right? It feminizes your face. And as you get older, Madonna's probably not producing a whole lot of estrogen these days. And so it's, she's looking maybe, I don't know. And I don't know what the science is these days for when I was younger, a lot of women would go on hormone replacement. And they'd get one that was after menopause. Yeah. But I don't know if doctors really recommend that anymore.
Well, that's the reason my mother got cancer, actually. Is she was hormone sensitive, and they gave it to her, and they didn't test her for it. And she's very small. She's 4'11". A lot of the doses they give women are, like, they weren't judicious about that. Mm. Had she had a vaginal ultrasound, they would have caught it. So... now they've adjusted the doses because they find that it can cause cancer. Mm. Hey, listen, everything goes to shit. It's all a nightmare. It's all blackness and death.
I just don't want to be in a lot of pain. And that's, to me, like, I actually fought cancer this past year, and it's like...
You did? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah, and girl, they cut off my skin, really bad skin cancer on my shoulder. They cut off part of my shoulder and stuff.
Like the size of a thumb.
It was like, I called it a vagina, basically. A little vagina on my shoulder.
They scooped out a little football.
Oh,
it was,
my
it was
God.
A vaginal shape. It had a hole in it. It was like,
Oh, man, I'm sorry, but I'm glad you're okay.
I'm glad
right?
I'm okay.
You're okay.
It's I'm cancer-free, technically, in quotations. Basically, having cancer is kind of like being HIV positive. You're now always have to be tested every year for this show.
Let's go with canker sore.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
let's just say
painful.
It's a dormant canker sore. No, I know. I know people have had it done. It's no joke.
And part of it is like, other people are like, it's not a big deal. I'm like, well, it's because they took a little, like the first test doesn't hurt that much. Mm-hmm. They just scoop off like the superficial area. But when they go into that muscle tissue, you're like, holy shit. I mean,
let me tell you, I had a hemorrhoid removed, and that was no fucking joke.
You did?
Okay?
For real?
Madonna did.
Oh. I love how they're like, who are we talking to right now? Nadia, do you think, for a lot of people who may not be familiar with the... Because you have so much compassion and love for all these superstar entertainers in your work. as a comedian, and you really sort of humanize them in the portrayals and in your films and your stage performances. What would you say to somebody who may not understand that and looks at you on a superficial level and says, this woman's clearly not well in the head and she's just obsessed with Madonna?
Then you don't understand. I would say it's like people who, when I, that comedy and art is cruel. Like you have to go there 100% and, or you shouldn't do it, but that doesn't mean there's not compassion there. I think certain people don't understand that, or like you wouldn't, it's art. It's not a personal attack. But I do. I am happy that I have know this couple. And one of the men says, "I hate Madonna," and his husband loves her. And they said, "Well, we both love what you do," and that makes me feel really good. Oh, but I get attacked once in a while. Like, you're stealing. How dare you? You know, hurt the queen or insult the queen. And it's kind of like argue with a fool, and you become one. If you don't see the compassion there, that thank you for saying that, it is there. It's part of the reason that my second season of my web series has taken 4 years to write, and I had such horrible writer's block, and it's because I sort of decided that in an odd way I did not see my own power, and I thought, you know, here I am, this woman struggling in Los Angeles, trying to make her way. How could I be powerful enough to actually hurt Madonna, who is, you know, a billionaire? But I started being less and less interested in actually being so cruel, or the amount of cruel that I needed to be in order to personify her. And so it kind of blocked me. And I've actually been writing with a friend of mine, a writer in England. His name is Andrew Gow, and we're collaborating. And I think I found a solution, and I get to play myself, and I sort of show my life and dramatize this kind of conundrum. And
well, you know, it's interesting because, like, this year I auditioned for a reality TV show and I got really far. But then the trouble that I found myself in was they were asking me to talk about the story of my life.
Uh-huh.
And it was really hard to talk about my life without talking about your life and Mark's life and the Feast of Fun and Cooking with Drag Queens. It was really hard to isolate my story without talking about other people's stories.
Okay. Yes.
And I think, like, this is kind of a similar situation that you're facing, right? You're so good at talking about Madonna and Cher and Winona Ryder and Britney Spears that when we ask, well, who is Nadia Ginsburg? You're like, well, I don't know. You know.
Well, my new show, actually, that was a huge breakthrough for me, is I was really terrified that if I didn't do the characters and I stood on stage by myself, which stand-up is the first thing I ever did when I was 21, and it was a very different landscape then, and that's why I sort of left and joined the freaks and the performance artists and did my characters. And it's a weird talent that I doing these voices and people, and it's, I followed the dollar signs. It's brought me out to Los Angeles to be on a show. But I was terrified that I was not going to be able to stand on stage as myself, but more so that people would throw tomatoes, that they're going to want these women. They're not going to want me. And what I realized was, all these years, I haven't actually been them. I've been Nadia doing stand-up, pretending to be them. It's always been me. And people who came to the show said, actually, I threw in Madonna at the end in a wig. And they said, actually, our favorite part of the show was you. And I still do all the characters. I just go in and out of them without a wig. And I'm really at a great place. And it actually reminded me of a movie I saw that got I didn't hear a lot of hype. All I heard about was Bohemian Rhapsody and all these other things. But is Can You Ever Forgive Me with Melissa McCarthy?
Oh, did yeah, you see everybody. It? It's going to win Oscars. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's fantastic.
It's based on a true story of a woman who's a writer who only did biographies, and I won't ruin it for you. This won't ruin it, but it's about, it really inspired me because it's a lot like my web series that I'm finally completing. And
is this the Monologues part three?
Yes,
three?
season two.
Okay.
But even Cheetah Rivera, I heard her speak once, and she said in Kiss of the Spider Woman, when she first started, she said, "There's a moment where I rise from the bottom of the stage, and every night I would pretend I was a different woman or hero of mine. One night I'd pretend I was Cleopatra, and the next night I'd pretend I was whomever." She had a bunch of them. And she said, "When I finally got to the pinnacle of my career, I was myself." But like, that's every artist's process. You even listen to Bruce Springsteen, and he sounds like Bob Dylan when he first starts singing, you know? So it's even comedians, they say, Howard Stern was talking to Jerry Seinfeld, and they're like, it takes you 20 years as a comedian to even realize what you want to say. It's
well,
part
you were
of
on
it.
The podcast not too long ago saying Madonna was tired of playing Madonna, and you are tired of playing Madonna.
Yeah.
So you know, in sort of a Julia Cameron, the artist's way, how
love
did
it.
You?
I did my morning pages this morning.
You did.
Do them?
Oh,
yes.
I have to start. I'm about to start doing them.
Do you do them every morning?
You know, throughout the years, I've done them on and off. I had a bad experience where a boyfriend asked me if I had slept with someone that he knew. I said no because I really didn't think it was valid. And I had written about his large penis, and he read it. He got horribly jealous. I got horribly upset, and I threw all of my journals in the trash. But yes, on and off throughout the years, I love it. Every morning, it's not meant to be reread. It's just emptying your brain, you know, and even if it's like, sometimes I write, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Oh my God, I don't want to do this morning. Oh wait, what did I dream last night? Like, it's just like vomiting onto the page. It's not, I don't write jokes. I don't have, once in a while an idea will come and I'll write it to the side, but it's really just emptying your brain. And I have to tell you, you will have a completely different day if you do those pages. And even Julia Cameron says, sometimes you feel grumpy, but it's because you haven't written and you're like, oh, I'm grumpy, I don't want to do them. If you do them for a while, you start to not feel the same if you don't do them. And so many successful people I've heard do them as the start to their day. So whether you get through the whole book or not.
Do you think Madonna does this in the morning?
Oh, my God.
And what did you want to read them?
Oh, that's a good idea. That would be really funny. That's an idea.
And how much time do you spend writing?
It's just three pages. I mean, you do three lined pages. So however long it takes. So it's, but not that long, 20 minutes.
Is it important to do it physically with a pencil or a pen and paper, or can you do it digitally?
No, you can't. No, because it, there is something about the pencil slows your brain down. Like when you're writing, you type an A, it's done. You know, but you have to have a good pen. I found that. I like a rollerball because it writes very easily. You don't worry about punctuation or grammar or spelling. And yes, you must do it with pen and paper or pencil and paper. It reminds me, Neil Simon said that all the plays that he wrote on these special notebooks he got from England, and he would handwrite them. He said, and he had a sense of rhythm of the dialogue, and that it would make sense when he would turn the page and keep writing. But I digress. That was a digression. But
well, I think Madonna's morning pages might be something worth looking at.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, she's smart. I bet they're interesting.
I hope, when, you know, God forbid the day Madonna passes on, we get access to those. I would pay to read those.
I know. I'm sure they're great.
But you said they're not meant to be reread. So what do? You just keep them in a book and you don't go back to them?
Yes. She says that it's like 6 months later or 3 months later, I've started the Artist's Way. I've never finished it. I'll be completely honest. But it's the one thing from it I try and do. And she says that you should ask for things in them as well. And that it's surprising if you go back, you'll see things that you wrote about that have come to fruition. Like, even if it's like being healthier, quitting drinking, you know, waking up with a hangover going, oh my God, I feel so bad. You know, why am I doing this to my body? But I do new moon wishes as well. I do new moon wishes at the new moon. You write 10 things you want to come into your life. You have to ask very specifically. Like, it can't be like you'll say, I would like all of the negative feelings that are getting in the way from me living as healthily internally as I crave externally. That was one of them for me this month. I said, as much I worry, like, oh, I want my weight to be this and I want my outward physical appearance, I said to myself, I want to care as much about my, I hate the word spiritual, it's been so fucking gangbang, but I do want my spiritual beauty, my inner beauty, I want to care as much and nurture it as much as I'm, you know, obsessed over physical health even. And then every day that, so what I've been doing late recently is before I write my morning pages, I go back and I look at those 10 wishes. You know, one of them was also to be, what was it? To accept myself, radical self-acceptance, to be radically self-accepting of myself, you know?
Do you feel that part of your driving force as an entertainer is sort of to heal this idea that you're not good enough?
I think.
Because it is for me. You know, like, I think.
Oh, yes.
Not good enough for what?
Just to be heard. You know, we're the middle artists are the middle children of society.
Yes, and I found out some things about my childhood where it made sense that I, as a young kid, I really wanted everyone around me to feel good. You know, my mother also had postpartum. I found out not just depression, but psychosis. And I, knowing that I was around the energy of my poor, sweet, beautiful mother going through all of that, how it made me sensitive in a way. And you're right. It made me want to heal her. It made me want to heal everybody around me. I talk about this with Jackie all the time. When we would write for Joan, you stare at these pictures, and every time you get these pictures that you had to write jokes for Fashion Police, every time you'd say to yourself, well, this is it. This is the time they find out I'm a fraud. And the jokes are not going to come, and then they always come. And when they're done, you go, oh, great. I'm never going to go. I'm going to always remember that it's going to come. But sure enough, it happens again. And it's sort of like, and Jackie says that too about his mom, that he remembers jumping. He said, and she's sitting there, his Italian mother who was from an orphanage, and she was a really tough lady, didn't really give it up to him, like would come see him perform and go, well, you know, everyone else seems to think it's good. I don't get it, but everyone else seems to think it's funny. Or remembering him being like, mom, look at me, like jumping off the, you know, the diving board, and her sort of half ignoring him. He says it's his mother, that's what it is. So I don't, I'm mentioning that because there's got to be some vulnerability there. Like, if you're not, you just can't let it devour you. That's the thing, you know?
I want to read to you a quote of Madonna from an interview with Norman Mailer back in 1994.
Ooh.
You know, and Madonna's always throughout her life and her career been thought of or compared to Marilyn Monroe. Or what is it? She said, I want to be like Jesus, Muhammad, or, you know,
Gandhi
or MLK, but I want to
die nude and from a drug overdose, like Marilyn Monroe.
Madonna
said that, not Marilyn. Madonna said that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea was that, like, And let me read this to you. Madonna said, as a celebrity or an unbelievably famous person, you are in this country certainly allowed to operate with everyone's approval for a certain amount of time. People do live vicariously through you. And they have fantasies about being you and wanting to do what you do. But it never lasts because several things have to happen. You need to disappear. You run out of steam. You run out of ideas. You need to get married, have a lot of children, get fat or something. You need to have a drinking or a drug problem.
She's done all of them now. No, sorry.
You have to go and out of rehab so people can feel sorry for you.
Yes, or, you have to have a fall from grace. Yes.
Or you need to kill yourself. Basically, die. The fact is, none of those things have ever happened to me. And people go around making all these pronouncements. Oh, Madonna's career is over. She's finished now. She's a failure. It sounds like so much wishful thinking.
Wow. See, she's so smart. No, it reminds me, Mariah Carey, I always thought had a great voice, but she always bugged the shit out of me. And when she had a nervous breakdown, I was like, oh, now I like her. or they say that was the not to get pedantic, but the Aristotelian definition of a tragedy is that a person of high stature, he has to be someone that everyone sees has a fall, not unlike the Kennedys, you know, that is suffering to create the peripatia, when people to have the emotion that people the desired emotion for drama. It can't just be a schmuck. It can't just be some schmuck surf. It has to be a person who has a fall from grace. Even Gaga did that, right? In her early videos, sort of with her in the wheelchair, she hinted at that.
Mm. Well, that's the appeal of these stories of, you know, rise and fall of celebrity. You know, even Stars Born is that, is this idea.
I haven't
that
seen it yet.
It's not worth seeing, in my opinion, just because its treatment about suicide is very reckless. Is that what I would describe in this specific
especially
film?
For somebody who injected themselves into the suicide prevention conversation with LGBT youth.
Yeah,
And I haven't seen it. Jackie said it bugged him. I heard some people say that the drag, my writing partner Andrew said that he felt that the gay people were kind of like props, you know.
For
it
sure.
Wasn't. And another, I think, was Dahlia. Oh my God, I forget her name. Anyway, she wrote a review and she thought it was funny that Bradley Cooper is supposed to be this alcoholic, but without a bulbous nose, you know, like he was this broken down guy with like his ripped abs. Mm-hmm. And there was really, so also, you know, as a comedian, I have the Mel Brooks disease where I can't see something without seeing the parody version, you know? You know, so I'm
what is the parody version?
I don't know. I mean, I have to see it, mm-hmm. but very few biopics too. Mm-hmm. I'd usually rather see a documentary. The only exception or one I can think of was What's Love Got to Do with It? And I thought Angela Bassett mm-hmm. should have got an Oscar for that.
Did you see the Whitney Houston documentary this past year? It shook me to the core. I quit smoking crack right then.
Did you see the R. Kelly documentary?
No,
I want to.
Oh.
I'm such a big fan of Trapped in the Closet.
Everybody
oh my God. I still think he's a musical genius, but it's really sad about how like violence creates more violence. But he's got like, and it won't ruin it. There are women like locked that there's a one like women who haven't seen their parents for 3 years that are like kept in rooms like prostitutes in
Amsterdam.
Europe who are taken across the border, forced to pee in buckets. Like, it's like a Weinstein. It's like a Weinstein situation. And if you're wondering, no, Weinstein never approached me, but it would have been nice to have been asked. Okay.
R. Kelly has women that are to this day in this point in time. That are hanging out in his house waiting to have sex with him.
That are kept as slaves, yes, and he's infected them all with diseases, and they have Stockholm Syndrome, some girls who were taken because, and all young girls. And they say at the beginning of the documentary, he was molested as a young boy by two people in his life, and he had a very difficult time in school, and he had difficult reading and writing, and had a teacher mentor who actually furthered the career of Jennifer Hudson, right? And a lot of others, famous singers. And he's like he can't even read or write music. He's a genius that way. But his predilection for little girls and the people just look the other way. It was like a Weinstein situation, but really severe.
The thing about R. Kelly is I'm not too familiar with, you know, why he's a star. I'm just familiar with the train wreck of Trapped in the Closet. And it's I don't know if you've ever watched it. You can watch it for free on YouTube. The first four episodes, just when you think it's like it's done, another layer of crazy is stacked on this plot, this nonsensical plot. Like, it starts off with he's having sex with this woman.
Yes,
and
I know.
He's getting up to go to leave, and the woman says, "No, you have to hide in the closet because my husband's coming home." And then he comes out, and his phone rings, and the husband opens the closet and says, "Aha, I got you." And R. Kelly comes out with a gun. And then the guy confesses, like, "Well, you know what? Since we're all being honest here, I want you to see this." And he reveals to his wife that he's gay. But in the process of revealing that he's gay and has a secret gay lover, they also discover he's a priest.
It will make sense when you watch the documentary, because not unlike Trump, who Bill Maher said a couple months ago that he lies outwardly, like, his genius is he'll say something out loud that's so outrageous. You're like, what the fuck do we do with this? That had someone discovered that, he'd be in trouble for it. And R. Kelly would be very autobiographical in his work. So much so, like, he did that after a certain phase where he was accused. Uh-huh. And so it was like a weird psychodrama of putting his guilt sort of up on display. Wendy, great sage and prophet Wendy Williams, said that he was hiding in plain sight. He was hiding in plain sight.
Well, that's a pretty good Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about Wendy Williams? She is having all these health issues, and she's in hiatus indefinitely.
Really?
She might quit show business for good.
No. What? Well, we don't know what the issues are.
So Love B. Scott, got sued or threatened to be sued by Wendy Williams's people for leaking that Wendy Williams is going through all this, like, medical problems. And then the next week they just announced that they're just, like, basically putting her show on hold for the next year. They're going to try different guest hosts to try to keep the series going. But if Wendy Williams can't get it together, they're canceling it.
She has suffered complications from Graves' disease in the past few days.
Oh, that's a thyroid disorder. Graves' disease.
So when she sort of fainted with, you know, dressed up as the, Statue of Liberty, it was a lot more serious than we realized at the time.
Do you think that's what it was from?
It might have been.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was this past Halloween.
No, it was like...
It was a year... last year's Halloween.
It was a while ago.
Because it was referenced in this season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. That sounded insincere. Mm-hmm. But
thing I've kind of been able to ignore him, I think, is I think when he first hit it big, I was living in Europe, and then I moved here to Chicago, and I worked at Michael Jordan's restaurant, and this would have been like 95, and all the people, I think that's right around the time that he was getting sued, and he went to trial for, like, peeing on a young girl. And so all the people that I worked with, which, you know, were mostly African Americans, they had known him because, you know, he's from Chicago, and there was they're like, "Oh no, he's trouble." So I've just kind of, like, you know, just basically ignored him.
Well, we all have friends who are into, you know, peeing sexually.
Mm-hmm.
If the two people are willing, though, it was a 12-year-old. It was like a young girl. I mean, it was a prepubescent girl, and
I think he got away with it because they said it was his brother or something in the video.
He lied. He tried to frame his brother, his own brother.
Yeah.
And when I worked as a waitress at Birdland Jazz Club in New York in the 90s, and above it was Puff Daddy's studio. And I remember one time Puff Daddy and R. Kelly, they all came down, and I waited on them. But no one tried to pee on me.
Oh, but well, it would have been nice to have been asked, huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have a stand-up show now. So you're still doing the characters, but you're doing it. It's basically as yourself. You're not putting on costumes as much or anymore.
Well, actually, this show it's called Anxious and Dangerous. It's this coming Saturday, January 26th at Oasis, San Francisco. You can go to www.oasis.sf/Nadia.
It's Oasis SF, right?
It's Oasis SF. Listen, I'm old. Listen, I'm old.
oasis.com/event/bigdick/
Oh, no, that's Mario. That's Mario's because I'm going with my buddy Mario. My buddy Mario is. Yeah, well, listen, I don't tell. I've never seen it. I've heard good things. Just ask or him. So I have read.
Just ask him to show it to you.
Just say, listen.
Right? People want to know.
If I have a friend who's like bragging about how big their dick is, I'm going to like, okay, I'm going to need to see that to verify. Because people are going to turn to me and be like, is Justin Jedlicka's dick giant? And I said, it's silicone enhancedly gigantic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard about that people inject them with silicone now. I had no idea.
He really enjoys
it.
His party is Big Fat Dick, BFD, and he's been doing it for like 20 years or something, and he's bringing it to San Francisco. He usually does it at Foo Bar in Los Angeles. So we're going to travel as buddies, and we're going to fly out there, and on Friday, he's doing his party, Big Fat Dick, and then on Saturday, I'm doing my show, Anxious and Dangerous, and in this show... because every show is different. I'm going to do a set of stand-up. Then I'm going to come out as Cher in costume and do a reading of her tweets. So I will be in costume as Cher in this show. And I will be being Madonna in the manner in which we have been doing in the last hour.
are there expectations like of your diehard fans to show up and they're like, there better be three or four costume changes?
No, you know what? That's what it really was a pleasant surprise is that people said, we really like you. We really like seeing you. And they, if anything, the last time I did a show and I did stand up, then I changed and was Madonna and changed and I did Cher. I felt like that they liked the stand up more. Listen, every show is different. I want to go to Europe and do my show in London. If I did that, I'd probably do a costume change. We'll see.
Great crowd. Do you feel like Madonna's still sort of like plagiarizing your career to some degree? Or is that like a...
Well, I really haven't done a video in a while. Yeah. I hope that this, what I've written, I hope she watches it. And...
when's it coming out?
I don't know yet. I can't give you a date. We haven't started shooting. We haven't finished writing. But we're very close. Okay. But we're very close. It's going to be like a love letter to her.
Madonna has seen your work from people who work for her. Have told me that. I was like, oh my God, I have verification, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're like, yeah, you know.
Some people have told me, and then also she did, when she did stand up, I felt she, I feel like she did take some of the things that I had done in my first season. And I almost feel like this latest round of skincare ads that she's done on Instagram. I almost took it like, which is probably not true. I'm like, it's like a fuck you to me. Because how do you parody a parody? How do you parody a parody?
By making millions off it.
I know, like, really, I love roses. It's infused with roses. I love roses. Do you love roses? I mean, it's unfucking believable. You're like, but that's her genius, is that she really is winking. That's her wink too. She's saying, I know this is ridiculous. And I know this looks like a cock and balls, do you know? And I'm going to say, roll like a queen. Yes. You know. She's no fool. She's no fool.
Do you have any skincare products you want to plug? We should get into this racket.
I know. It's clothing and skincare. Yeah, Gwen Stefani doesn't do that. Gwyneth Paltrow with Goop, right? Mm-hmm. She and and it's the same thing with the music industry. Women are getting older. They're not making as much money doing movies. And so it's all about a lifestyle brand. So for Kate Hudson, it was leggings. Mm-hmm. And for Gwyneth, it's Goop, right?
What's her name? Jessica Simpson. She's a billionaire from her clothing line. And the Olsen twins from their clothing and stuff like that and their endorsements, they're billionaires as well.
For one,
but you actually get an actual dead animal, like a dead exotic animal, like a $32,000 backpack, the Olsen twins. But yeah, Britney made more in her perfume 1 year than she did. Or even more than 1 year, than her music.
So comparing to this, the skincare product Proactive, which you can buy in a vending machine at the mall, and it's basically salicylic acid lotion. It's super overpriced, not worth buying. But Sean Combs, Avril Lavigne, Lindsay Lohan, Alyssa Milano, Katy Perry, Jessica Simpson, Britney Spears, and Justin Bieber have all done ads for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Justin Bieber making a record for being paid $3 million to be their spokesperson for 2 years.
Wow. I'd do it. Come on.
I'm like, yeah. You know.
I'd get pimples just to do it.
You see this beautiful skin? It doesn't come naturally, folks. The new Feast of Fun skincare line, it is going to transform your life.
Well, I heard semen is very good for your skin.
It's not.
It's not?
No, it's rich in chlorine, which is irritates your skin. One of the worst things you can put on your face is semen.
I wish someone would have told me.
Too late for Nadia. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Oh my gosh, I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me. And I do want to come to Chicago. I do want to bring my show, Anxious and Dangerous. That will be in San Francisco this Saturday, January 26th at the Oasis. I'd love to take it to Chicago and Boston. I'm working with a new booker. Because I haven't played there yet.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really interesting that there's these like major cities that don't always get these really great acts.
I want to go to Nashville.
Yeah. Go to Austin South by Southwest for the comedy festival.
I've done Austin. I love Austin. I had a really good time there, but I would love to go back.
And the
Atlanta, Hotlanta. Yeah. I want to do Hotlanta.
Florida. The Key West?
Yeah, sure.
To
Florida Keys. No, that's another good one. I want to go to Toronto where I was born. My grandmother's there. She won't die. It's very upsetting. She's 104.
Nadia Ginsburg is Canadian?
Yes, I was born there because my dad went there during Vietnam. And he was from Brooklyn. And then as soon as we could come back, we did. I was 12.
So can you, like, if things get too hot in the United States, you can go back to Canada or?
Yes, I have a dual citizenship, but let me tell you, it's fine, but it's very provincial. It's great. It's multicultural, but people really stay in their own neighborhood. Someone described it as a quilt rather than a melting pot.
Mm-hmm. They call it a mosaic. Yeah.
Yes. And it's not the States. Mm. I'd rather live in the United States.
But you're in Hollywood.
But I love you, Canada.
You're in Hollywood, you know.
I love Canadian men. Oh, my God. They're so beautiful and so sexy. But it's like we went to Toronto.
I prefer Latinos.
Expecting, you know, this. And it was like cloudy and cold. And
it was August, late August.
But it was moody, you know. Mm. It was.
Yeah.
Toronto the big smoke, I guess. I had never heard it called that. But it was like, what's kind of smoky and gloomy and gray?
Yeah, it was. And we live in Chicago, you know, so we're used to smoky, gloomy and gray. But Toronto has us beat.
Yeah, and there's certain sections, like I grew up in a Polish-Ukrainian working-class neighborhood, and you really felt like you were in, I was like in a little Poland, I was called Christ Killer when I was 4 years old, no one would play with me.
Oh, quick.
Oh my God, that's for a whole other show about my Jewish self-hatred. Like the mirror has two faces. Am I pretty? Am I not pretty? Am I pretty? Am I not pretty?
Anyway.
Oh God. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for having
Give
me.
Give our best to Jackie and Mario and Selena.
I will.
Yeah, Selena Luna, now that she's a Disney Pixar star, She's doing
her stand-up show. She's doing a stand-up show. That's also this year. I hope to tape a stand-up special and that's very exciting. And she's doing the same. Margaret Cho is directing, so awesome. She's going to do that in February. And so, yeah, a lot of great things happening this year. Before we sign off, what are some exciting things you have for your fans?
Well, Nadia, this is our 15th season.
We're
starting it of this podcast. So we started in February of 2005. So we took a break. And so, like, you know, over the Christmas holidays, so we say January, that's the start of our season. So, yeah, yes. We're just very excited to be here. And we wouldn't be able to do it if we didn't have such fine guests as people like you and wonderful listeners who support the podcast.
How can they support the podcast financially if they want to?
They can go to feastoffun.com/plus and sign up and become an ongoing member, or they can make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate.
But there we go.
But I'm you know, I live under a rock.
Then buy a t-shirt or get a mug at our store, feastoffun.com/store.
But what if I want to mail like a check? How do I do that?
Oh, if you want to mail it, just mail a check to write it out to Fausto and send it to 5315 North Clark Street, Chicago, Illinois. 60640.
Are dick pics appreciated just for morale?
Dick pics are appreciated. You can send those to mail@feastoffun.com. I like a dick pic, but I also like a body pic too. I don't like just a disembodied penis.
Hello.
We got a huge, giant project that's been in the works this past year. The fourth season of Cooking with Drag Queens starts in February to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, exciting. That's very exciting. So maybe I will get to be a guest on that, as you said.
Well, we already filmed this one, but...
Well, these are all... they've all been filmed. It's a real TV show with cameras and crews and, you know, stuff.
It's amazing.
And so we've been editing and doing the sort of post-production on that, which takes a lot more than the pre-production.
Maybe Can you pitch it to Netflix or Logo or anything?
How do you do that?
I have no idea, but if somebody knows how to do that, because our trust betrayed by one of those Netflix cloned sites where they licensed the use of Cooking with Drag Queens, and then they were like, we're going to send you a check. And they never did.
They basically used us to leverage investment in their company, and their company's not going to go anywhere, in my opinion. So they're just, you know, used our image to, you know, steal money from people, basically.
Well, let's talk. Let's talk off air.
Okay.
It's more fun to do it on this show.
I know, completely, yes.
And so that's
leave ourselves completely naked and vulnerable.
Naked and unafraid.
Naked and not ashamed. Mm. Yes, anxious and dangerous. Yes,
I absolutely love you. I wish that I could
love
be in the
too,
front
guys.
Row for every single show that you do.
Thank you, guys.
And I'm sure Madonna, in her own quirky way, adores you, too.
I hope so. After this next season, I'm going to make her love me.
Isn't that one of her songs from...
Probably.
Yeah. I'm Madonna, bitch. Madonna.
You will love me? Isn't that from Evita or something?
You must love me
you
now.
You must love me now? That's it, right?
Maybe.
Anyway, Nadia, we'll let you go.
All right. Okay. Love you guys. Enjoy the blood moon. Make good wishes.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Nadia Ginsberg lives in Los Angeles, California. Her new show, Anxious and Dangerous, is going to be happening in the Oasis, Hecalina's Bar in San Francisco, on January 26th. That's a Saturday, right?
Yeah. And stay for the meet and greet afterwards.
And tell her, Fausto sent you.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow with more.
Yes, honey. And make a good wishes. Make good resolutions for 2019. And we want to hear from you. Tell us what your plans for the new year are going to be. So it's a new Madonna. It's a new Feast of Fun. New Cooking with Drag Queens. New everything, honey.
That's fresh.
What is your goals? What is your expectations? Let us know on social media, honey. Instagram, Feast of Fun. Twitter, Feast of Fun. Everywhere, honey. I need to know. Let me know. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.